to our house that has the outbreaks occasionally of that sickness. Anyways, I want to share a little bit actually on a somewhat similar theme, all pretty much from Proverbs today. These are some verses that have been encouraging me over the last, probably last couple of weeks. It's on wisdom, but it's on specifically, more specifically, how the Lord delivers wisdom. And maybe we'll start in Proverbs chapter 1. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse 20, it says, "Wisdom shouts in the street. She lifts up her voice in the square. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. At the entrance of the gates of the city, she utters her saying, 'How long, O naive ones, will you love being simple-minded? And scoffers delight themselves in scoffing, and fools hate knowledge. Turn to my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit upon you. I will make my words known to you.'" And as I was reading these verses, I just was really challenged and encouraged to have a heart that listens for wisdom's reproof. You read these verses and you can say, like, who is she calling out to? Naive ones, simple-minded, scoffers, fools who hate knowledge. And you can kind of read that and go, well, that is not me. Like, you can quickly remove yourself from that and say, you know what, that doesn't actually apply to me. But I actually think it's far better to say, you know what, that is me if I resist the reproof that wisdom has for me, if I resist what God is trying to teach me. And what's more, I would say, even if you particularly start with the first part of the verse, the naive ones, how long will you love being simple-minded? And in my own heart, I was like, yeah, like, I think there's areas in my life where I know, actually, I don't think, I know there are areas in my life where my wisdom is still simple-minded. It's not God's wisdom. And when I say that, I can see the fruit of it, because if there's still areas where I stumble into conflict, if I look at our home and look over the past few weeks, I can think of times where little conflicts have broken out, or maybe not so little conflicts have broken out, and I've been at the heart of that. And I have to say, then if I look at that, I say, that was stupid. That was not wise. That was me being simple-minded, because if I was hearing God's wisdom, he could have shown me a better way. He could have shown me a path that would not have brought about division, that would not have brought about these ugly fruits that can come in that circumstance. And that's just one example. I think we can all think of many other examples in our lives where, if we're honest with ourselves and look back and say, you know what, that I don't like how that turned out. And I'm not talking about, I think you have to have an honest heart in that and say, like, was it God's way? Did this turn out how God would have wanted? And if the answer is no, then I think we can say, you know what? I need more wisdom. I need to be willing to listen for wisdom's reproof. Because then the promise is in verse 23, it says, if we turn to his reproof, it says, behold, I will pour out my spirit upon you and make my words known to you. And I'm going to read a few more verses about the promises there, or what that looks like. But, like, if you actually think about that and think about, like, our lives and the different decisions we take and the different circumstances we find ourselves in, like, what an awesome promise that is, to be able to know that we can go through this life with God speaking to us, with his words speaking to our heart, that our God's ways and his wisdom could become known to us. For me, I just, as I look back, I was just like, man, like, I want that. I want to know God's ways. I want him to show me the ways that I'm still living, the ways that I'm still raising up my children, the ways that I'm still relating to my wife, the ways that I'm still relating to any of you, how I function at work or other things, that I'm still simple-minded. I'm not I'm not operating in God's wisdom, and I want to change. I want to have God's wisdom help me and learn through these circumstances. So let's look at a few more verses. Let's turn to chapter 3. Maybe start, and I'm going to skip around a few, but let's start in verse 7. The first part of the chapter, I think many of us know it, about not leaning on our own understanding and acknowledging God in all his ways. And then in verse 7 it says, "Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil." And I think that's where a lot of this starts, is having an attitude, having that humility to not be wise in our own eyes. And again, it can be so easy to read it on the page. It can be so easy to just say, you know what, that wouldn't be me. I know I got lots of shortcomings, and I'm not wise. And you can say all these things now, but I'm telling you, this becomes reality when God's reproof comes. It's easy to say, yeah, I'm humble. I know I need lots of God's wisdom. Yeah, I really need that, and I make lots of mistakes. We can say these things, but that's actually not what it's talking about. God, he's not looking for us to say that. He's looking for us to have a heart that when reproof comes, when his wisdom comes and it contradicts our will, when it contradicts how we want to operate in a situation, that's the moment we need to not be wise in our own eyes. That's the moment when we need to say, God, I know how this goes. I've walked this path before. My wisdom, I've walked through this situation before, and let the Holy Spirit speak to your heart about it as to what those can look like. I know some in my mind, and I can say, I've walked through this before, and I know exactly where this goes, and it's not good. It does not glorify you. It does not bring your peace, your life, your joy, your fruits of the Spirit. I know where that goes. But I can tell you, despite knowing that, it's so hard to yield our will and say, God, help me. Because usually, at least for me, there's a conflict. There's a conflict, whether it's external with others or whether it's just internal between us and God, where despite the fact we may know that it doesn't produce good outcomes, everything inside of us still wants to go that way. That's just the flesh. That's just our old nature, the habits, the way our mind, it says to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Because unless we're transformed, our mind and our flesh will just lead us down the same paths again and again. Even though we can look back in hindsight and say, you know what, these are not good, it's more than that. We need more than just being able to say, you know, that path is a destructive path. That path is an unhealthy path. We actually need to have a heart that says, God, in that situation where everything inside of me wants to resist, wants to fight back, that's a very often a case for wisdom, is to fight back and resist when the reproof is coming. We need to have a heart that says, you know what, God, I just want to throw my wisdom in the trash right now. As hard as that may be, as much as that may hurt, as much as that may be a conflict within, to say, you know what, I don't want to be wise in my own eyes. I want to learn your wisdom, Father. I want to have a better way through this than what my own will and what my own thinking and my own reasoning would lead me into. And to me, that's where that humility is, when it says, do not be wise in your own eyes. I may not have conveyed it perfectly, but I think what I'm trying to say is just, again, it's not just about confessing that we lack wisdom, but it's actually in the situation when it comes, saying, I'm not going to rely on the way I've always dealt with this, but say, God, help me. And there is often a conflict and a dying in that. And then it says, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. And I'm not going to go through it all in here, but there is multiple verses that talk about how the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And fearing God, and that wisdom comes from turning away from evil, turning away from our own paths, turning away from our pride and our wanting to be vindicated or proved right, and all these other ways that we can not actually have a heart that is where we can have a heart that's wise in our own eyes. Because if we want to be proven right, if we want to be vindicated, it's showing that our heart actually is proud. It wants to be shown to be wise and be right in a situation, and that we do need to cast that aside. And I say that with all 10 of my fingers pointing at myself, because I know that and I experienced that, and I can say even in the last, like I said, last 2 weeks, I can look back and think of distinct situations where I did not humble myself. I did not embrace God's wisdom, and it led to hurt. It led to damage. And I read these things and I say, God, help me when that comes. And it's good to call it what it is. It's good to call it what it is. Our own desires to be right and to be willing to, you know, turn from a conflict and have God's wisdom. That is evil. That is evil, and the results it produces are evil. And so then we can say, I wanna fear the Lord, and I wanna turn from that. And then there's the promise here that it says it will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. And I just think about how God's wisdom and the outcome of obeying God's wisdom is so contrary to human wisdom, to the devil's wisdom, to all that our flesh would lead us into. Because the outcome of God's wisdom is that we have to suffer, and we have to deny, and we have to be willing to listen to his reproof. But the end of it is actually peace. It's healing. It's joy. It's strength. It's refreshment in our bodies, and most importantly, in our spirit and in our lives. That's the outcome of it. And the outcome is, despite we fight so hard for it, even if we do triumph and we're proven right, all that's around us is just destruction and damage. There's nothing to rejoice in there. Even if you can prove perfectly that you were right, what good is the outcome if those you care about, if those around you are just damaged and experiencing your wrath and all the garbage that comes when our own will tries to assert itself? There's no refreshment there. There's no healing there. We now need even more healing in ourselves and others when we go down that path. In verse 11, it says, "My son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord or loathe his reproof. For the Lord, for whom the Lord loves, he reproves, even as a father corrects the son in whom he delights." And there's two things I wanted to call out in there. Is the first off is the Lord's reproof. When we talk about reproof, I think another scheme of the enemy is to maybe bring us back to different times in our lives where people may have corrected us, and they may have even been right, but they did it in a way that left us like scarred and not really maybe wanting to open up to that person again, because you're like, I opened up to that person and all I got was a jab and maybe you can even say it was right, but it was like, man, that was so hard to take because of how it was delivered, or because of how they, even the fruit I could see of how they have it in their own lives. And I think it's important to remember here that this reproof is coming from our Heavenly Father. And I can say, even if it does come from our Heavenly Father, it doesn't necessarily make it easy. It doesn't make it so that it doesn't have a conflict, that there's not a dying and receiving it, but it is going to come in a perfect measure. It's going to come in his way with his wisdom. And I don't want to put it in a way that we can just come to a place and reject anything that comes to us saying it wasn't done in God's way, or I don't receive it that. But I do think, I almost take it just almost as a promise that if you say, you know what, God, I want to hear your proof, I want to learn your wisdom, I want to understand your ways, then we can also have the promise that it's going to come as from a loving Father. And it says in Hebrews, right, like it says, we all, those of us who are fathers or parents, we've done our best. Like we, those of us who love our children, we've done our best to raise them and give them reproof that they need. But it's flawed. We've made mistakes. We've been too harsh at times, or we've at other times been too soft, and we should have been more stern. But we know that our Heavenly Father, when he gives his reproof, it's perfect. And there's going to be no possible way that he will deliver it to us in the absolute best possible way. And we can have that hope and saying, you know what? If I want to, if I want to have this heart that is open and receptive to the Lord's reproof, then I can also have a hope and a promise, you know what, that he will do it as a father who corrects the son or daughter in whom he delights. He's not doing it as a father who's checked out or somehow doesn't actually truly love his children. He's doing it as a father who delights in us. And he's only doing it because it's for our very best, because he wants us to experience the blessing and the joy and the profit that comes from hearing his wisdom and applying it to our life. In verse 13, it says, "How blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. For her profit is better than the profit of silver, and her gain better than fine gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire compares with her." And I was just thinking about all the different things that can come across our lives that we can have a desire for, that we can have a yearning or different, you know, if this could come, it'd be really good, or things we can even look forward to. I'm not saying all those things are wrong. I'm just saying there's lots of things in our lives. Some things are unhealthy. Some things are even not unhealthy that we can have a desire for. But I just was reading this verse and challenged myself to say that nothing I desire can compare with the value of God's wisdom in my life. Nothing. And I was just like, you know what? If we have that, I think what it helped me do was raise my eyes a little bit higher in how much I esteem God's wisdom. And if we take these things to heart and actually receive them with faith, it can actually help us to have just a little bit more of a hunger. Because it talks elsewhere early in Proverbs about how we'll understand the fear of the Lord. It's like searching it out for treasure, for gold, for jewels. If we have that kind of heart to search it out, it says we'll understand the fear of the Lord. And it applies, it's totally intertwined with wisdom. If we have that same heart that truly thinks that nothing I can desire, that nothing I can pursue is as valuable as God's wisdom, it'll help us in receiving the Lord's reproof, and it'll also help us in having the perspective of what we need, having a heart that is not wise in its own eyes, because we see the value, because we believe there is such a value in having God's wisdom, hearing his word, and having it work in our hearts. In verse 16, it says, "Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who hold her fast." And I was just looking, verse 17 in particular, I was reflecting on some of the places in the last couple weeks where I feel like I have not operated in God's wisdom. I've operated in my own wisdom. And I can just contrast what the outcomes and what that was like with what the promise is in verse 17, that God's wisdom, her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. And I just look at that and say, you know what? I want that. I want that in my life. I want to have that path that every step of it is pleasant. It's not easy. There's suffering. And it's not something that means that we're going to be on a path that has no conflict or there's no dying to our own will involved. But we'll look back and say, you know what, God, that was good. That was a good path you brought me on. That was a pleasant path. That was in the midst of all of it, God, despite how difficult it may have been, in the midst of all of it, God, I had your peace. Your peace was present and guiding my heart, guarding my heart, and I was abiding in it throughout all the difficulties. And if we can look back on that, we can see, you know what? If we've walked through different situations, I think some of us can even look back and see times where you can say, yes, that was the fruit of following God's wisdom in my life. I can say it, that despite all this things going on around me, I stood in the middle of it with God's peace. And it's a miracle. It's a miracle. I think we know of ourselves what it's like without that. And you can look back and say, God, in the midst of it all, I had your peace. I can't but say, thank you for your wisdom. Thank you for your help. And I can also say that if you also reflect on that, and if you haven't experienced that, it's there. It's available. But it often doesn't come. When we think of God's wisdom, it's not like human wisdom. It's not like human wisdom where you step back and say, that was so smart. That was so intelligent. God's wisdom is more like, wow, God, you told me to keep my mouth shut in this situation and it hurt, but I'm so thankful I did. I'm so thankful. And look what you're doing in this relationship. Look what you're doing. Look what you're doing. I've been married for a little over 10 years now, and God has done many good things, but I can say I still want more. And with God's wisdom, I can look and say, God, I'm 10 years in and I still am naive, but look, you're doing something. You're working and it's getting better and better. In chapter 4, verse 18, it says, the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. And that's the promise. That's another promise to those of us who say, you know what? I want to have a heart of wisdom. I don't want to be those who cling to my own ways and refuse to hear reproof, refuse to hear the Lord's wisdom speaking into my life. I want to be those who embrace God's reproof, who embrace his wisdom and say, and I can have this testimony that my life is getting brighter and brighter. That my life and situations that I walk through, you know what, in the past I've walked through them in the dark and stumbled and fumbled about, not knowing where I'm going and tripping over things and making a mess of it. But you know what? Because of God's wisdom, I feel like I'm walking through these situations with a bit more light now. I'm walking through these situations and it's not resulting in destruction and damage and hurt around me, damage to myself. I'm actually walking through these situations and finding God's grace in it. And what's more, I'm able to give that grace to others. Like, it's actually a blessing to those around me. That's the promise. That's what it means. We can just read these things and not necessarily have a real sort of have it speak to our hearts as to what it can mean. But that's what it means. Walking through a situation with more light means we walk through it and God's grace is present. He helps us through it, and we don't stumble and trip and make a mess of things, but rather we walk through them and see the pitfalls and see the things that want to trip us up and the snares of the devil, and we actually can navigate around them and find God's grace in the midst of it and give that grace to others. I'm going to stop there, actually, pretty quick. I know Tim's going to share a few minutes, and I don't want to cut him off entirely, but let me just read one last verse in Psalm 32. In Psalm 32, verse 8, I'm going to read verse 9 first and then come back to verse 8. In verse 9, it says, do not be as the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, whose trappings include bit and bridle to hold them in check. Otherwise, they will not come near you. That's the one path, right? Like, that's the one path that we can walk on, where all our days we're just wrestling against God. We're just fighting against his ways and having this bit tight in our mouth that's trying, God's trying, and with a strong hand trying to guide us to what's best. That's one way to live this life, and I don't want to live that way. And I can say that I've seen myself in that way at times, where I've been like those stubborn animals. But if you read verse 8, this is the way God wants it to be for us. He says, I'll instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. And I just find that verse such a blessing to think of my Heavenly Father has his eye. He wants to give me perfect counsel. He wants to teach me how to navigate through things and to walk in his wisdom. But he also, when he says he has his eye on us, it means he knows our situation perfectly. Others may have no clue how difficult it is for us to receive the Lord's reproof in certain situations, what our past has held, all the hurts we may have experienced, or different things. People may be totally ignorant of that, but when it says God will counsel us with his eye upon us, it means he knows those things perfectly. Even if no one else understands, God understands, our Heavenly Father understands, and he gives us his wisdom with that understanding. His reproof comes, and it may be hard to hear, and it may be not what we like, but we can know with a promise that he is doing it with his eye upon us. He's doing it knowing all that our experience in life has held. His eye sees it perfectly, and in that, he's giving us his perfect wisdom to help us through these situations, to learn his ways, to understand how we can walk in his path and have his light grow brighter and brighter in our lives. So I don't know, I can just say that as I've gone through the, and keep, I'll give you a few minutes, Tim, sorry, but I can say as I go through this, and I've gone through this in the last few weeks, it's been good for me because these verses have helped me when I've heard things that were maybe contrary to what I've, way I saw things, it helped me to say, God, is this your reproof? Is this you speaking to me? Because it's a very, very healthy way to listen to things. When somebody shares something with you or tells you something that is different than how you've handled it or learned about it or think you normally do it, it is very, very healthy to say, God, is this your reproof? Teach me through this. I want to learn. I don't want to have a stubborn heart. I want to have a heart that is open to your reproof. And secondly, I can say, these verses have to be pointed at our own hearts. Don't let the devil take these away and say, I wish this person would listen to your reproof, Lord, or I wish that person would listen to your reproof, because then you're missing it completely. The way these verses are to be applied is to our own hearts. We say, God, help me to receive your reproof. Let me receive your wisdom. Even if others around me, we may perceive they're not or think they're not, that does not matter. God's wisdom and reproof is for us, to be a blessing to us and help us.